How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. It is cold here in New York. Yesterday was like 80 degrees. Over here right now, 50, windy. I went outside. I was planning on power washing today. I saw my producer. I wanted to power wash my entire house. I gave up. Not happening. Not today. A lot of professional wrestling to talk about. Obviously, the fallout of WrestleMania. Boy, you know, yes, the con with doing the show on a Sunday at 6 is that generally I don't get to talk about the pay-per-views that happen on Sundays. And I have a lot to talk about because overall, WrestleMania, a couple gems. With a lot of nothings. And I want to talk about that. The difference between watching a spectacle and the difference between watching a professional wrestling show. This is a spectacle. Also, SmackDown. You know, Raw was the highlight of WWE programming this week. Between Raw and SmackDown, Raw won this post-WrestleMania show. Very good Raw. Okay, fine, whatever, SmackDown. A little too long. We'll talk about that. Also, AEW Collision last night, and the finals for the Owen Hart Cup are almost set up for Double or Nothing, which is in Arizona this year, not Vegas. I think a lot of people, nobody wants to go back to Vegas after that long week. Too close, dude. Too close. I wouldn't want to go. And this is a show I would go to all the time, Double or Nothing. Not after, you know, people going to WrestleMania, they're not going to run out there. We're going to talk about this and a whole lot more. You're going to get my opinion on The Rock and this roast that people are losing their minds about and John Cena and everything else happening in the world of professional wrestling. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. I don't know where to begin. You know, it was an interesting week for professional wrestling. We had WrestleMania. The culmination of the year essentially happened last Sunday. MG, best match of night two?
The women's three-way.
There you go.
That was by far, for me all weekend, that was by far the best
match. By far the best match. I really love that match.
I mean, I love the main event night one. That was great, too.
Uncle Dave gave it 5 stars.
Yes. Well deserved. Those ladies killed it.
What did Dave give the main event?
Like 1.75.
Like abysmally low. Abysmally low. Well, I mean, let's talk about that, right? Because I know a lot of people, that's been a topic of discussion this week on what happened there. Creative happened. It really, you know, and this apology tour that, you know, the Damage Control Rock was doing last week on Pat McAfee was similar to the Black Adam stuff. Where he came out and essentially he's like, it's not my fault it wasn't good. I gave them a different idea. He was on Pat McAfee's show. The Rock, Dwayne, said he felt his work was done after the events at Elimination Chamber where Cena turned on Rhodes. Seemingly at the behest of The Rock. It did not feel like that. He also said that the reason Ari Emanuel called him to tell him that the sales for Elimination Chamber were not good and they needed him. And I don't think that's true because we were tracking the sales on the show and it was moving quick. Even before The Rock was announced, those ticket sales had moved. So I don't know what last minute big boost they thought they got from The Rock, but I don't think that that's necessarily true. I don't know what happened here. Listen, you know, you set people up for expectations and you don't do anything to curb, you know, the expectation. I mean, he did say he wasn't going to go or he never said he wasn't going to go. You know who said it? Our very own Dave Meltzer. This man went there, reported it exactly what was said to him. He said, essentially, The Rock's not going to be there. There's no plans for him to be there. And The Rock came out and said, that's BS. Publicly. And people got on Dave. Everybody attacked Dave. Ah, look, he's making up a story. And look what happened. He was not there. He never intended on being there. It seems like there was some sort of creative difference because he had originally suggested that Cody turns. And Cody was not going to do that. He did not want to be a heel. So they went with John Cena. But think of the impact the build and the finish would have had if The Rock was not involved. You did not need Travis Scott at all involved in this. You could have put him anywhere else. Have him walk out with Jey Uso for the world title. You want him in a world title positioning? I think Jey Uso works well. A little bit better than Cody and John Cena. Maybe a guy that's a little bit more hipper to pop culture to align with. You know, I always saw it as, listen, you have Cena go in there as a babyface. He's going for 17. That's already on the line. That's already a big deal. You have that built-in story where Cody is like the next generation of like the John Cenas of WWE. That's a good guy, and you could keep going into that. I never, you know, bent the knee to my bad temptations and all the bad actors within WWE that were trying to recruit me. I never sided with Paul Heyman. I never sided with this one. I never sided with Vince McMahon. I was there for the people. And now you're going into WrestleMania, and what happens in the end, MG? John Cena low blows him, gives the crowd the finger, goes to the announce booth, throws Michael Cole to the side, wreaks havoc. And your end moment is, oh my gosh, they finally did it. And then on Monday, he comes out and he explains exactly what he explained. You people suck. You booed me all these years. You booed me in this match. I'm here. I'm at the end. I'm doing this for you, not me. I'm a millionaire. I have a major acting career. You think I want to be? I'm doing this for you. And you don't even like me.
Creatively, that's a much more satisfying ending.
Why am I able to do that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why am I able to do that?
Because it was right there. They get in their way sometimes. And it was clear they got in their way with The Rock being involved. And you have Triple H's team. And they say they work together, and then you have The Rock and Brian Gewirtz who are inputting ideas, and somewhere they just got too convoluted and too cute, and that leads to, I wouldn't say miscommunication. Is that not, that's probably not fair.
I don't think it was miscommunication. But I think it was a compromise. I think this was a compromise to get you where, you know, they brought Dwayne in, he did his thing. People said, oh my gosh, who's the third man, right? He did that thing, that weird thing with his face. He did that whole thing, held the fingers up, 2, 3, 1, whatever he did. And now you're thinking, oh wow, he's here. He hasn't been on the build, but he'll definitely be at WrestleMania. How could he not be at WrestleMania?
So they also could have went the way of having one segment on Raw where maybe Rock cuts a promo saying, hey, I've set this in motion. You go do what you're going to do. And you don't need me there. And he cuts a promo, maybe on social media, and they play it on Raw. Now we have expectations set. Hey, he just said he's not going to be there, you know, but he set things in motion.
Yeah.
So we should expect something else. That would have been the other way to do this. But just leaving it open-ended like that left so much speculation. And when Travis Scott came out, I like everyone else and you, we both said it. This isn't it. The Rock is coming. Okay, where's Rock's music? Is it playing? And when it didn't happen, it was such a defeated letdown.
It was a defeating letdown. Not to mention these people also, you have to remember, a lot of these people have been there for 2 days. Most of those people have been there for 2 days watching WrestleMania. They've been there for more than 2 days watching other wrestling. This is the culmination of the whole weekend. They wanted that big moment. And, you know, they got something else.
Last year was so overbooked in a good way, had so much going on that this one didn't, and it felt like it needed it, right?
Needed it. Listen, you know, if The Rock was showing up, I could tell you exactly what would have happened. Steve Austin would have come out with that ATV, would not have run over anybody. You would have had a back and forth, Austin and The Rock going back and forth with those punches. A false, you know, he'll go for a rock bottom. Austin elbows him, gets out of it, gives him the kick for the stunner. He reverses it, and something happens. Oh my gosh, that crowd would have lost their minds. Just creative differences. Did not happen. I hope this is a good lesson for them, because here's the issue. You can't have this happen too often. The crowd is very forgiving because the product is so hot. There's confidence in the product. Garrett and Dave were talking about this, and Garrett hit the nail on the head. You're more forgiving when you have confidence in the product, because they are on a roll right now. This company has been on a roll. So these bloops that they have in creative, you know, you're more forgiving of it. You know, even that triple threat, you know, I would say that's been convoluted too. I know where they got there. I mean, that's a little bit better and they got there, but really there was no ending to that feud. It just continued. It's a Heyman special. You don't end it, you extend it.
Well, they extended it, all right.
They extended it, and I'm curious to see where that goes. But, you know, I know there was so much disappointment over that main event, and rightfully so. I totally agree with Dave. I don't fall into hysterics when it comes to wrestling. You know, I kind of want things to play out, but this was a moment it should have played out, and that was what I kept saying. I'm like, oh, I'm going to let it play out, because obviously The Rock's going to be there. Dave can't be correct on this. Look, The Rock called BS on it. And guess what? Dave Meltzer was correct, as usual. When we come back, I'm going to go into Raw, SmackDown, and AEW. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. That was my little rant about the main event. And The Rock, and John Cena, and Cody. Talking about John Cena, you know, I have to tell you, Monday Night Raw, he opened that show up, and I thought that was... He's getting very comfortable playing this heel role, and you kind of, for many people, if you did not see the beginning of the John Cena run when he was a heel, it's what got him over. It's what made him into who he was, and I like this version of him. It's coming very comfortable. It's not forced. I thought they did a great job here. Story where John Cena came out. He was gloating about winning the title. He was talking bad about the fans, and Randy Orton came out and RKO'd him and laid him out. And you know what? That is the right program to go into right after WrestleMania. You do another Randy Orton and John Cena program. And, you know, years ago, I had spoken about this because I was told by somebody there that they really were looking to do this with them, where they would go back and forth on who would get the most title reigns. And this is the time that Triple H had the world title. So what year is that? 2016? When he had that title last? I would say it was 2016. There were conversations happening where, okay, where's Hunter in this? Where's Randy? And where's John? And let's see how close we could get them all to 16 to tie the record. And they wanted to do this back and forth where the title would go back and forth. I would love nothing more for John Cena and Randy Orton to play hot potato, and Randy gets the title a couple times here. Trying to come creep up to John's number. You could run that. I did very much like this. We also saw a turn. Becky Lynch turned on Lyra. And they lost their tag titles that they won. So obviously this was a filler, right? Or I can't see this was always the intention, because why do it this way? Why take Bayley out of this and put Becky in?
So do we know that Bayley's not injured in any way? Because the rumor I heard was that this was all a storyline injury.
That was the rumor. Like, I haven't heard that she's hurt. But, you know, you could have, I found this interesting. But her heel turn was definitely foreshadowing in some capacity for what happens next year, because the main event, I'm not going to go into the whole show, but I want to talk about the important stuff. But the main moment was, Seth Rollins comes out with Paul Heyman. CM Punk would come out. He would attack Seth. He would go to attack Heyman. Then Seth would get the upper hand on Punk. Roman would come out, get the best of Seth. And then he gets speared by Braun Breaker. Heyman has a new faction. Braun Breaker, Seth Rollins, himself, and whoever else they add to this.
Thor adding at least one more, right? They have to. It feels
I would imagine. I would imagine somebody else. But, I mean, who could be that guy? Who are they going to go with? I mean,
we
if
were
Becky
talking about
joins,
this the other day.
If yeah. Becky joins, you know who? Maybe Austin Theory. Wasn't he handpicked from Evolve? By Heyman?
By Heyman, yeah. I don't know, maybe. I mean, we'll have to see where it goes. There's so many people. There's probably someone down in NXT we're not thinking of that they would fit
I'm
this
sure.
role, too.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I'm sure. But that was the moment there, so it led you to SmackDown, where John would open the show again, but only to be interrupted with Randy almost immediately. They had a long back and forth. A challenge was made at Backlash in St. Louis, Randy's hometown. Okay. Does The Rock show up in St. Louis?
At this point, just no. Please, let it rest.
You don't want him to show up in St. Louis? I mean...
Show up, change the narrative around again, and then disappear for 6 months.
Hey, what did you think of the main event of this show? The TLC match.
Oh, on SmackDown. I thought it was... So I didn't get a chance to watch all of it. I came in and out on it, but this one, Street Profits, Montez Ford is amazing.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Every time I see him, they pull stuff out. The ending was quite good. I was surprised they did a TLC match on television.
Well, I feel like this got bumped.
Bumped off the pay-per-view?
Yeah. And I wish this was on the pay-per-view.
This should have been on Mania. Yeah, this should have been on Mania.
I mean, a TLC match, they went 22 minutes. This was the main event. I mean, they gave it time.
They did that wild spot where, was it Montez Ford speared Tommaso Ciampa off the, he was hanging from the titles?
Hmm.
That was a wild spot.
Yeah, I thought
very
it was fine.
Similar,
there wasn't,
very
there
similar
wasn't a
to
lot
the...
of, but the crowd seemed a little off.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, they went 3 hours. It's a long show. So I don't know. Very interesting.
I'm actually kind of done with 3 hour SmackDowns.
It's almost over, right? You. Isn't it almost over?
Yeah. I think we got another month or two.
That 3 hours. I think we're learning that 3 hours is not a good thing for wrestling.
You could do it once a month.
You could do it once a month. You could do two. I mean, they don't have that flexibility because they're on network television. You know, they're on cable, so they got to follow the time slots. But I would say the sweet spot is what Raw's been doing is like 215, 220,
yep,
235 if you need to. But that 3 hours. For 3 hours of talking and just like two matches doesn't work. Give me 3 hours of pro wrestling. Give me a pay-per-view level thing. And yeah, I'll be into it because it's constant action. I don't want to see bumpers and vignettes over and over and over again. Jacob
also,
Fatu, by the way. Jacob.
Before, I want to back you up a little bit. What did you think of what happened with Pat McAfee and Gunther?
I thought that was good business. I think it's to get Pat. Was it to get Pat off the show or was it to get Gunther off the show? Because I think Gunther's taken some time off.
Yeah, he's been in the storyline indefinite suspension they posted yesterday. So I think you're right. I think it's to give him time off. Because McAfee was back on his show the next day and explained it and was like, yeah, I'm sore or whatever. But I thought it was very good. You know what it reminded me of? And yeah. I think it was meant to be the same thing. Do you remember after Seth Rollins cashed in his Money in the Bank and beat Lesnar and Reigns at Mania in San Francisco that year?
Yeah.
The night after, they did the storyline thing where Brock, again, beat up Michael Cole.
Yeah.
The only thing left of Michael Cole was his shoe. And then he suspended him. At almost identical angle in many ways.
Yeah, so, I mean, he wanted some time off. And that was it. Now he's off. I thought it was good. I liked it. My big thing is Jacob Fatu right now. I'm so hot on him. He's fantastic. He's really amazing.
He was
he's
good
doing
on,
some good
he was
stuff.
he was good again. And I'm glad. And now he's kind of on his own. He's not really part of any bloodline storyline. So that's really good.
Yeah, that thing fizzled away, huh?
They've totally moved away from it.
But is it because now, Solo just didn't have that role in him? They tried.
It was flat. It was flat. Much like the main event of Mania, it was flat.
It was flat. Totally. Totally. Mm-hmm. Drew McIntyre also defeated LA Knight. This was when Jacob Fatu came out and wiped out both Knight and Priest with a big splash. So that's continuing. That's going to go into something here. All good stuff. I mean, very cool stuff. I want to touch Dynamite a little bit. We'll go into Collision also, the Owen Cup, the Owen Hart Foundation.
One thing I think we should... I didn't mean it.
No,
I'm interrupting you again.
No, go ahead.
One thing we should mention is part of SmackDown. Bianca Belair announced she broke two fingers in that Mania match, so she's going to be out probably for a month or so.
Yeah, not fun. I mean, those they hit so hard. Those women in that match, those three were incredible. I really liked it. The ending was a little
Stone
lackluster,
Cold?
But it worked. No, what does Steve say?
He went up to EO. They did a video package. They put a video together, behind the scenes stuff. And in the middle of it, Stone Cold walks up to EO and did his little spiel and goes, "I thought your match was great." And she's like all, kind and like, "Oh, thank you. It was endearing. He's like, "That was a hard hit." He pretty much said that was the hardest hitting match of the weekend. He might be right.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. Let's see. Let's go into... Oh, I actually had something else I wanted to add here. Have you seen the AAA stuff, right? We were talking about this, and I went last week on the show, and we were wondering why that NXT, that Worlds Collide show was on at 3 p.m. Eastern. We're like, wow, it's on at 3 p.m. It's because there's a pay-per-view right after. That's why. So
down
it's one
street.
Of those, yeah, down the street. And I think they start at 6, that show.
Interesting.
I think that's a 6 p.m. start because of UFC. So it's one of those triple TKO headers. You got NXT, you got WWE, and you got a UFC show that day. I don't mind that. I don't know if the audience is annoyed or if you're going to try to make both shows, but I don't mind when they do that. I don't think it's too much. It becomes like a day of doing things. I'm fine with it. When we come back, going right into AEW Dynamite, we'll talk about Collision, we'll talk about Double or Nothing, and a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Do me a favor, follow me on X at Andrew Zarian. That's where I put out all my thoughts. I want to touch on Dynamite here. Right before the show started, I put a tweet out essentially saying, hey, they got a new theme song. That's what I was told by somebody. They have a new theme song. It's a Sum 41 song. I'm not a big Sum 41 fan. Didn't listen to them too much. I don't remember what the name of the song is. It's time for war. It's war time. The war zone. Monday Night War. No, I don't know. It's something. Something war. But they didn't use it. You know what? Instead, what we got? Master P. Make him say, He opened the show. He made his entrance. The Master P lure in the world of professional wrestling. He's an owner of House of Glory. People don't know that. He also was in WCW. Remember the No Limit Soldiers? You remember who they feuded with? Kurt Hennig.
Wasn't it Kurt Hennig
and Barry Windham? Rap is crap.
The rap is, yeah, that it was.
What were they called? The Texas. I forgot what they were called.
You're on the right track. But
I'm on the right.
Can't remember.
I'm on the right track. I can't remember. Those were. I blocked out those days. There's a giant hole of memory in my head of WCW in 2000.
Because Rey Mysterio was unmasked, and we've wiped all that away. We've we've taken that period away because he didn't.
Can I tell you,
on.
When I saw him on Mask, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, who is this child? I expected a grown man. We got the sweetest boy with the sweetest face instead. Damn that Kevin Nash. Master P came out, introduced the Trios champions. The Death Riders came out. Marina comes out. The Death Riders, it's a distraction. They come out. Yuta attacks the Ops. They all attack the Ops. Master P was left alone. They did a whole thing here. This led to Swerve coming out. Joe recovers. Kenny's music hits. So a big, big, crazy opener in the beginning. That was really the big story here. And then FTR, which I find this interesting. They returned from suspension with Stokely Hathaway now representing them. I don't think they needed a mouthpiece here. But I like Stokely.
They don't, but it's a different
dynamic.
Stokely,
so yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's a different dynamic. Let's see what happens here. I always felt that when Tully started like working with them, that was a good time for them. I thought that was interesting to link them up with Tully. But what they did do, the Rock and Roll Express came out, and they outright murdered Gibson and Morton. They hit Morton with a spike pile driver. Why is the Rock and Roll Express constantly getting murdered on this TV show? I mean, they were kidnapped a couple of weeks ago by the Death Riders.
A couple months ago. Every time they do the loop in the southern states, it seems like they show up, and it's like, oh no, they're going to beat them again.
Yeah.
They're props at this point.
Yeah. MJF also tried to bribe the Hurt Syndicate with a Lamborghini. This was funny, where he offered him a Lamborghini. Okay, that was something. I don't know where this is going. I feel like it's going to be another swerve by MJF, and it's going to lead to Bobby Lashley and MJF at All In. Is that the match? That is a weird creator wrestler type of match, right? Like, that is something that nobody thought that they would see. Bobby Lashley and MJF in an AEW match. I'll take it, though. That was it, and he also had to catch in
Josh
Alexander.
Maybe if he beats him, if he can beat Lashley, he gets in the Hurt Syndicate. Is that
maybe some sort of speculation? Yeah. So last night comes in. This starts off. Swerve Strickland comes out to the ring for a Collision Playoff Palooza. Tony Khan and all of his 1990s references. A playoff Palooza.
It started late. It started almost 9 o'clock.
It did. Yeah, it started late. Yeah, because the NBA playoffs are happening. My Knicks are in the playoffs. My New York Mets are hot. Your Detroit Tigers are hot.
And our teams are playing today. So.
And our teams are playing today. Are they in Detroit or New York today?
They're in Detroit.
Let's see what happens. Swerve comes out. He cuts a promo. He's cut up by the Young Bucks, who moved his matchup, so he had to wrestle in Strigo. So the Young Bucks are still acting like EVPs. They still have control here. Swerve Strickland defeated Blake Christian with Lee Moriarty. Moriarty attacked Swerve after the match. Young Bucks would attack Swerve as well. Kenny Omega would come in to make the save. He would hit a Snapdragon on Nick. Matt pulls him out of the ring before a V-trigger. So is this the match? Are we getting a tag at Double or Nothing?
Maybe. Or are we getting? Is this setting up Anarchy in Arena?
I think this is setting up
Double or Nothing.
Is it Anarchy in Arena or is it?
Yeah,
it is. Okay.
They've been doing Anarchy in Arena. They did on the pay per view, and they've done it like 3 years in a row now. And then a couple weeks later, they do Blood and Guts, which seems like overkill, but somehow they've made them work, and I've been entertained.
All right,
by them,
I did. I actually enjoyed the last one, the Anarchy in the Arena. The last one was good. I like the last
one. So that's where it's going. Hey,
so who's it going to be? It's going to be Kenny. It's going to be Swerve.
Kenny, Swerve.
The Ops.
And the Ops.
Against the Young Bucks and the Death Riders?
And a version of the Death Riders.
And a version of the Death Riders,
probably,
yeah.
Probably Mox. Well, it's going to be Mox, Yuta, and Claudio, I would imagine.
So no world title match on this pay-per-view, if we do that.
That's what I'm thinking.
I don't know. No, well, no, we're not getting that match at this show. We're getting Joe.
Samoa Joe and
yeah,
Samoa
it's not
Joe
on the pay per view.
Yeah, it's not on the pay per view.
It's that four hour special they're running.
Yes.
Yeah. Tony Storm defeated Queen Aminata. Hologram defeated Max Caster. This Max Caster thing, is it over? Like, is it getting over? Because I feel like it is.
Well, people were chanting with him.
That and chant, the first time I that heard chant that. Is terrible. No, they did that before too. Mm-hmm. They did but that before just, too. So
it's unrepentant stupidity comedy is all it is.
But I feel like it's getting mm-hmm. over. Hologram defeated Max Caster. This was the open challenge. Who was the first wrestler? Who was wrestling his first match since getting beaten by Anthony Bowens? Caster tried to attack, but Hologram hit a Spanish fly and a tope suicida headbutt and a portal bomb for the three count. These guys have to get back together. I think this breakup was a big mistake. Big mistake for both of those guys. I think Anthony Bowen is fantastic. I think Max Caster is great. Them
well, Anthony
together,
Bowen's just going to need to be on TV more.
And I know.
They want to get this character to go. They need to
dude, they
got to
put them back together. Sometimes it's not the right call. And for whatever reason, they want to split them, but they actually had a decent act, and they could have gotten hot again. If you position them in the right way, they could have gotten hot again. Mm-hmm. The Crew defeated Top Flight. Anna Jay defeated Taylor Gainey. Penelope Ford and Megan Bain would make the attack on Anna Jay after the match. Bandido defeated Jarlistico to retain the ROH world title. I have no idea what's happening with Ring of Honor. I get asked this question every single week, regularly. What do you know about Ring of Honor? You know what are the two questions I get asked every single week, regularly, and there's no... Like, there has not been a break for about 2 years of this. I think you know what it is.
I know.
What's happening with Ring of Honor TV? And what's the TV rights situation in India for AEW? Those are the two questions I get asked relentlessly every single week. And my answer is, I really don't know. And I wish I did. I wish I had an answer to stop the question.
Yeah. Just a definitive one. And even if you answered it, you'd probably still get asked.
I will say the last time I spoke to anybody was in December about Ring of Honor, and they had no clue about it. There was nothing. And nobody brings up Ring of Honor. Those three letters, it never comes up in any conversations.
On the TV side, you mean?
On the TV side, yeah, when I have conversations with people on TV.
So real quick, I want to double back because you didn't, you kind of skipped over it, but the Tony Storm match with Queen Aminata.
Yeah.
So the Aminata did that move that Stephanie Vaquer did.
Aminata, not Aminata. That's a different wrestler. Aminata is a different wrestler. You know what? That's a great, feud. Queen Aminata and Queen Aminata.
Oh, jeez. Anyway, what do you think of that? So she did that move that Stephanie Vaquer does where she grabs her
butt buster, whatever. What is it called?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. On NXT, all I know is Booker T's made it a gimmick, and people are starting to do his part in the crowd while she's doing the move. So
that man is pouring blue chew in his cup while that show is happening.
Jesus.
Every time he loses his mind with that spot, I don't know. But I've seen other people do that spot. She's not the only one. Charlotte
did it.
But I mean but you know, that was for years. Yeah. For years, Charlotte did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it a one-time thing? No, Charlotte did it a lot.
No, she did it. It was part of her moveset early on. And she did it a couple weeks ago and people got all upset. She's stealing that from Stephanie Vaquer. No, she's not. Just so you know.
I don't know. I think it's fine. Why? People were losing their minds that Tony did that spot.
Well, the way they did it, I thought she was copying it a little bit.
I think Jacob Fatu needs to start doing that spot.
Oh, God.
I think Jacob Fatu needs to do it.
He'd kill somebody.
You know who else I want to see do that? Obafemi. I want Obafemi to do that spot. I want the most ridiculous people that should never do that spot do that spot.
Of course.
I thought it was fine. I don't know. I got the most deranged message from somebody. I never do this, but I want to summarize this because I responded. I never respond to these ridiculous messages that I get. This person goes, no one watches AEW. The numbers don't. I can't. Pretty much tell me to cope. Enjoy your empty arena, boss. And I'm like, do you think I work for this company? I said, I have no invested interest in this company. And I wrote, I'm like, why would I sit here and argue with you over DMs for a company I don't even work for, over a TV show? Deranged. Deranged. I thought it was a fun... Listen, I thought Collision is one of the easiest shows to watch. It's super easy to watch. I never have an issue with it. The show was fine. The main event was Paragon defeating FTR. It was a very good main event. I really like FTR as heels. Rush AR Fox we also got. That was a good match. We're starting to see, you know, people on here. And then also Dynamite next week. We've got the Owen Hart Foundation Men's Tournament Semifinals. Hangman Page versus Kyle Fletcher. AEW 8-man tag. You got Kenny Omega, Speedball Mike Bailey, Mark Briscoe, Kevin Knight versus the Young Bucks, Okada and Ricochet. Hurt Syndicate will appear. And also MJF will be live in action. Final segment of the show coming up. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live. Final segment of the show here. The Owen Hart Cup. The finals are almost set for Double or Nothing. It's going to be Will Ospreay versus Hangman Page or Kyle Fletcher. And Mercedes Moné versus Jamie Hayter. So this will lead most likely into Mercedes challenging for the world title. At All In. That is a match I really want to see. Toni Storm and Mercedes Moné is a match I really, really want to see. And they've done a very good job at taking their time to get here. That told a story. Mercedes, you know, a lot of people were thinking, well, she'll go immediately to the world title picture. No, I think they did it the right way here. They built her, they built her, they built her. Nobody can beat her. She has all the titles. And now she'll go into facing Toni Storm. On the men's side, who should this be? Ospreay, we know, is in. Is Ospreay winning this and challenging John Moxley for the title? I believe so. I believe that's the story here. And that's the big moment for Will Ospreay. You have this monstrous heel being defeated by their babyface, their future champion. And he finally gets it. He becomes a world heavyweight champion at that big pay-per-view. They need stuff that's going to sell more tickets for this. And I think Mercedes Moné and Toni Storm and Will Ospreay against John Moxley, I mean, those are two really big world title matches for your top two matches. You'll eventually, then you do Kenny Omega and Okada. That's another tremendous match to add. That's an attraction match. You haven't seen that match in a very long time, and you probably won't again for a very long time at that level. That card is shaping up, and it needs to. It needs to be a big showing for them. We'll be back next week with more pro wrestling here. Wrestling Observer Live on Sports Byline. We'll see you all next time. Take care.